Okay, N.J. Whipple, Crow Creek Sioux Tribe.
And your Dakota name, if you have one, and your English name?
We never did have any.
Okay, what is your best childhood memory?
Oh, Christmas, I guess. Going to church, which was about 3 or 4 miles up the creek, and my dad would hitch up a horse to an old sleigh, you know, that had runners on it, and he'd put hay in there, and then we'd go to church in that.
Wow. What is your worst childhood memory?
When my parents died. I think my youngest sister, who is 2 years younger than me, she's died recently. I think she must have been about a 10 or 11, so that would make me about 12 years old. And we were away in Episcopal Girls School, St. Mary's in Springfield, South Dakota. I don't think it's there anymore. But we were away in boarding school, and they came and got us and took us home, and my mother died of pneumonia. And they sent us back to school. And the following year, my father died. So we kind of grew up as orphans.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh, I can't remember. I don't remember the exact year. I remember the months, but not the year.
About how old were you?
I was about 12, and I'm 76 now.
What was it like for you growing up?
It was hard because we lived way out in the country, and during our grade school years, we lived about 3 miles from a a country school. So we had to walk to school. And after we got out of grade school, then we went to the boarding school, the Episcopal Church boarding school in Springfield, South Dakota.
What's Springfield close to?
Yankton. It's, I don't know how many miles, maybe 25, 35 miles.
On here it says, did you practice your culture and language?
No, because my mother grew up without a mother. I don't know whether she died or what, but, and so they sent my mother away to boarding schools back east, and she was punished for talking the Indian language, so she never wanted us to learn it. So although I understand what people are saying, I can't put a sentence together to talk back, even though I know, you know, what they're asking me. And my dad, too, was punished for speaking the Indian language. So he, too, did not want us to talk, you know, the Indian language. Although they talked it to each other, they did not want us to learn.
About what time did they go to school? Was it like
My mother, which is unusual for women during that time when she was young, had a formal education of 13 years. She was in schools. I think she was in school in Rapid City and in some other schools, and she was sent off to Carlisle and added up all together. I think it said in that, I have some papers on her, they said she had 13 years of formal schooling, which was really unusual for a woman back then, and for an Indian woman to have that many years of formal schooling.
So was that like in the early 1900s, or when was that?
Let's see. Oh gosh, I would not even know. My mother was 52 years old when she died, and I was 12 years old, so how far back would that?
I should do the math.
Yeah, so, and, you know, it's unusual that we feel like we're, you know, we're living so much longer. And back in those days, you know, they died early, you know, in their lives.
Well, they had to work harder, too.
Yeah, my mother worked. They said she died because she had pneumonia too many times. And you know, in those days, you didn't go to the doctor like we run to the doctors now. You didn't. You just, you know, did the best you could. And if you survived, you didn't. You know, you were all right. And if you didn't, why? And the doctor said that she had... That was the fourth time she had pneumonia, and he couldn't save her. So.
I know. Usually, by the time they went to the hospital, it was mm-hmm. too late.
Yeah.
I think you were born in 1932. Does that
yes.
sound right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then your mother died in 1944.
Yeah.
And if she was 52, she would have been born in 1892.
Yeah. And my dad died the year following when she died. The next year he died.
What were your parents' names?
My dad's name was Edward Red Hale, and my mother's name was Rebecca. And back in those days, the Indian people were given an English first name, but no middle name. So, you know, some people have it and some people don't. And in those days, too, they would take the children, the Indian children, and send them off to school somewhere. And when the kids came back, they often came back with different names, you know. They'd come back with maybe John Jones, and his brother would have a totally different name. And I know this because somebody from the Cheyenne River, what's his name? I can't think his name. He said that's what happened to his uncles. He was telling me his uncles, and he named all these different names. And I said, why did they all have different names? And he said, they were sent off to boarding school as children. When they came back with all these different names. He said, they're all full brothers. They have different names. So, you know, a lot of things were done like that then.
It says, what were your parents and grandparents like?
Now, see, my mother's, I only remember her talking about her father. That's why I know, you know, her mother died, must have died when she was real young for her to be sent away as a child. So I don't know anything. In fact, within the last couple years, we had to search all the records in Cheyenne River and Lower Brule and Lake Andes just looking to find what our mother's mother, what her name was and where she had been. So we now know what her name was, but we know nothing more than that. And my dad, I don't think that was his mother, but some old lady used to come to visit us when we were kids, came from Sisseton. They would bring her down in the summer, and she would stay with us for us being kids, it seemed like forever, because we couldn't play while she was there. We had to take buckets and go out and pick choke cherries for her. And she set up her tent, and she would sit on a canvas out there, and she would pound these choke cherries into cakes. And it was our job to go and pick the choke cherries for her and then put the little cakes out on the chicken coop, you know, in the morning, and then take them down in the evening. She had a big flour sacks that she, and when by the time she filled those up, then, you know, I don't know how they had told her family or whatever, but then her family would come after her. But we couldn't play. We had to, you know, take care of her while she was there. So we griped and grumbled, why can't she go home, you know? But yeah, she was with us, I think it was every summer while we were, you know, little and in grade school. But I don't know what her name is or anything. We just called her Grandma. You know, and back then, you know, when you're kids, you don't stop to think, ask, you know, how are we related and all that. And then since Mom and Dad died when we were so young, we never did ask. So now, afterwards, now we're trying to trace everything. And like I said, we finally found out what my grandmother's name was and what her name was. But other than that, we know nothing. And we're still looking, you know, to...
So what was her name?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that, and I can't think of her name. Oh. But we found out in the records at Yankton. It's Wagner. They had a BIA office there. And I knew the girls down there. So we went down, and we used to, my mother used to get a lease check from there. So we took that number, and we went down there, and we gave it to them, and we said we were looking for our grandmother. We don't care, you know. We're not coming down saying, you know, you owe us anything. We just want to find our grandmother. So they pulled out records, and they set us at a table like this, and they said, you know, whatever we see this number on, you go ahead and look through there. And if it's anything pertaining to your grandmother and you want a copy, you can have it. So that's how we found out what her name was. But, you know, other than that, we never would have known. So, you know, I can see, you know, the young people now that are looking for relatives, you know. I don't know if their parents are telling them, or were they going to have to do like us and just go dig it out. And now my sister, who is 2 years younger than me, she used to go with me to all of this, and she died here June 7th. So, you know, I really miss her.
Says, do you know any traditional stories?
No, I don't. No. I don't know. I think because they sent Mom away, you know, to school, which I don't know how young she was or when they, you know, took her and sent her away to all these schools. But if she had been in schooling for 13 years, she must have been sent away at a very young age. So, no, she never ever told us any of this stuff. But if she did know any, she probably told our older brothers and sisters. But see, now there's just me and one sister left. So we don't know anything. You know, if there is, I don't know them.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I had two brothers and six sisters. There was eight of us. And they're all dead except Hester and me.
So, what place are you in the family? Where were you born? Like second or third?
I am the second to the last.
What do you consider your best accomplishment?
Living this long, I think. It wasn't easy getting here, believe me. Especially considering since my mother died so early in her life.
What would you like to pass on to your grandchildren?
That's why we're trying to gather all this together, what we can find of our family history, because that's what I want to give to you kids. And we're slowly putting it together. We've got more papers, you know, that have little scraps of information on them. And it is my hope that we can get it all put, you know, into one book or something that'll be a history left for the younger ones. And they won't have to go spend their whole lives looking like we did, trying to find a grandmother. Go to school. Go back to school and get your education. Because even now, people that have their high school education and even a bachelor's degree is not, you know, does not guarantee you anything. You almost have to go on beyond that. So I would say go back to school, because that's where you're going to be able to get along in this world. And I know you've heard me say that over and over, so.
Is there anything else you want to add?
No, but I'm proud of you, Sarah, for everything you've done. And I'm proud of all my grandchildren.
Oh, I love you.
I love you too. And I hope I'm going to be around to see you, some of you kids. I've made it so far to all the graduations, so I hope I can go to a few more. Anything else?
Thank you.
You're welcome.